Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Drones for Good. My name's Kevin Gillespie, and the co-host is...
Blair, Steve Blair.
Shaking, not stirred.
And we're back!
We are back, man. Hey. It feels like it's been a long time. There's been so many podcast shows.
It really has, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've had CoptersCon as well, and when we did CoptersCon, there was a lot of people saying we should have our own breakfast show, saying we were smashy and nicey. Don't think that was the look we were going for.
No, not really. Like Keenan and Duncan.
Yeah. And in debt.
Yes.
No, it was really cool. So, I mean, since the last podcast, when we recorded it, but it only came out after CoptersCon, didn't it? We recorded it pre-CoptersCon. And then we actually, because we do so many now across all the guys, if you've been listening to Drone World, you will have hopefully heard from a lot of different people at Copters, as well as people from within the industry by now.
Definitely. And looking at Drones for Good as well, I mean, CoptersCon was all about that, wasn't it? It was fantastic. We had some great people from all over different verticals, different industries.
What was your highlight? By the way, guys, if you want to see CoptersCon, you can go on demand. Is that right, Chelsea? She's nodding. You can't see her, but you can go on demand and you can access 18, 19 hours worth of content. I mean, there was some great stuff. The Energy Summit, which had... Who was on the Energy Summit again, Steve?
I'm just trying to go around.
I know, there was so much. Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot, but it's like, we should be talking about it, because at the end of the day, we had the Energy Summit. I know we had guests from all over.
Yeah, public safety. When you just asked me the highlight there, and I think it's hard to pinpoint a highlight, but I think listening to all the different guys across defence and public safety, that was exciting. We had Planck Technologies coming on.
Yeah, talk.
Lorenz as well.
And then we had Parrot, which was great, talking about, well, obviously Planck is linked to that.
Exactly.
And then you had...
Chris Flanagan,
yeah.
Chris was on it, telling about how he started a drone business, Army veteran, and how he's managed to get his work going in the security industry. That was great. When you're talking about starting a drone business, it's not just about passing your GVC and passing your A2C, is it? Let's be real. It's on about how you can prospect, how you can sell, how you can market yourself, all these different types of things that people coming from other industries, or if you've never started a business before, you need that bit of help with and a bit of support. And that's what Jamie's here to help with as well.
Absolutely. But enough about that. This show's all about drones for good, not starting a drone business. So big shout out, first off, to a company that is making some big waves in the industry in recent times. If you've been following the mainstream media, I'm sure you would have heard about the Royal Mail drone delivery pilot. Well, it's not pilot anymore. They're actually out there and they're doing it. And it's with a company called Drone Prep. So you've got Gareth and Emily, who were part of CoptersCon.
Yeah.
We actually did a webinar when they were up in Scotland with a pre-recorded. So you'll be able to catch that. We talked about everything in there, man. We went from drones for National Trust. Well, it might not be National Trust, but it might be someone who owned a castle. And they had drones going up to drone ports all the way through to the actual pilot itself, which was amazing. And Royal Mail, from what I can see, it's been a massive success.
What I want to know, the question that's been burning me, so you mentioned that in the Isle of Mull, wasn't it? Is that right? Isle of Mull, I think it was. And you mentioned that everyone was getting helipads in the garden.
Yeah.
Drone pads. Does that have a H or a D on it? I know we answer all the big questions here.
Oof. Well, why don't we just reach out to Gareth on social media, or Emily, and just find out.
Yeah, what does a drone pad look like out there? Is it a D or an H? Good
question. Well, I don't know, Steve. We should know because we sell them.
Well. Ours have got an H on them.
Do they have an H on
They've
them?
They've got an H on them, but I don't think that's good. I think it needs to have a D on them.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Why would it have an H on it?
Exactly. Bizarre.
That's just like a hangover from aviation, isn't it? You just don't want to let go.
Exactly.
You don't want to let go. It's like these helicopter pilots, you know what I mean? They don't want to let go. Drones are taking the jobs. Because why send a helicopter when you can send a drone for search and rescue? Talking about search and rescue, did I hear that one of the search and rescue organisations that we work with recently adopted drone technology and...
This is incredible. So Northants, big shout out to Northants Search and Rescue. Purchase the Mavic 2 Enterprise Advanced, which is all the rage at the moment. Our top-selling drone, and I'm sure it is the top-selling drone in the UK. In fact, it is the top-selling drone in the UK of late. So they've purchased this, and on its first debut flight, I've actually found someone in the search and rescue attempt straight away. So
amazing. Was the person actually lost?
They were lost.
Okay.
Yeah, that is not just...
they just didn't find a random person, and that person was actually lost.
Yeah, what's he doing? He's holding a controller. That's strange. that's yourself. Oh, yeah. No, it's nothing like that. No, they did actually find a lost person. So we've got a blog on it, just gone out from Tom and Sam. And I'd urge everybody to have a read of that. And Tom, who works here, has also interviewed them. He's got a video about how exactly it went down and how it worked as well, which we'll be releasing a week from today, when it's the 2nd of June today, before I start giving you timelines.
Amazing, amazing. So just make sure that you subscribe across all the channels to see all this amazing content that's coming out. As you can tell, this is the first podcast that we've had videoed with me and Steve, so keep on looking at the camera while talking.
I forgot it was on.
Yeah, you forgot it was on.
Oops.
I don't mind, as it will be.
No, we're okay. We're okay.
What have you been doing?
I'll just quickly put my t-shirt on.
Okay. It is hot today. Okay, cool. So, next big news. So, we work with Fleur, and Randall Warnes has been an amazing partner and supporter of Copters in our journey to, well, get organisations to adopt drone technology.
Where we are today, really.
He's been there from the start. And I mean, Randall Warnes has just recently left Fleur, and he's now moved on to be CEO at Autel Robotics,
yeah,
which is amazing, because Randall's probably been at the start of the drone industry, especially with commercial drones. So he's been there right at the start. I don't think there's anybody more knowledgeable than Randall in the industry at the moment. Do you agree?
I would agree. I honestly can't think of anyone who's quite got that level of experience. I'm sure there are people out there who'll argue differently, but from somebody I know, I think Randall's certainly up there with the most experienced, and he's also somebody that we'll go to if we have any queries or questions, and he's always happy to help us. So that's great to see that he's moved up and on to Autel Robotics, and he's actually CEO of Autel now.
Which is great, man. Yeah. I mean, tell us a little bit about Autel Robotics. What do they do? Because obviously Fleur was all about the cameras. Is Autel Robotics all about the drones? Is it the hardware? Is it software? What are we talking?
So Autel, it's sort of another string to the bow when it comes to small fold-up drones, if you like, a bit like the Mavics. It's a drone to rival that, definitely more on the enterprise side. 6K resolution cameras and a 1-inch sensor, so very good filming, very good photography. But also they marry that up as well with thermal imagery. So fantastic drone, great-looking drone as well. And that's certainly something that we hope to be bringing to Copters.
That would be awesome. Randall, if you're listening, call us. Slide into Steve's DMs.
He's waiting for you.
No, that's cool. So, quick one here. I'm going to fire some questions at you, Steve. So, we did our first podcast probably about 4 weeks ago. Is that right, Chelsea? 4 or 5 weeks ago? What has been happening since then? What interesting company or organisation have we started working with? What are they doing?
So, since then...
Just give us the most exciting one.
The most exciting ones. Probably one of them could be to do the MixSense camera, but I'm not going to touch on that one because I know we spoke about that a lot on the last episode.
Well, quickly, what's happened?
Well, there's two. There's CFAS.
There's two MixSense.
People that are making waves in agriculture, which is exciting from within Copters, because if we're honest, the UK has never really got behind agriculture like the rest of the world has.
Why is that? Is that because there's more farmland? So like in America, I mean, it's like you've got states bigger than the UK that are just farmland.
Exactly.
It makes complete sense, right?
Exactly.
I mean, in the UK, what's the biggest land?
Yeah, well, there's super farms out in Norfolk, but there's still super farms.
Is that the one where we... Oh, yeah, you've just reminded me, actually, of the super farms out in the Southwest. If you go on to CoptersCon and listen to the drone prep on demand, you'll find some amazing stuff that they're doing in these super farms. All I'm going to say is Fitbit for cows. It's to do with drones. It was all to do with drone prep as well. So yeah, trust me, man. It's like Fitbit for cows, and it's all about making... Don't quote me on this, but it's all about making the optimum milk.
Very good.
So I mean, I did ask Gareth and Emily. It's like, what is the optimum step count, daily step count for cows to achieve prime milk?
Yeah, I was going to say.
They don't know. They didn't go that scientific.
No, well, it's not fair either. They've got four legs. We've only got two, so it's not fair to compete with a cow, is it, at the end of the day?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think we'd be competing with cows. Oh, I think right. Cows compete against each other.
Maybe I got that wrong then.
Okay. Ooh, but maybe there could be something in that.
I can just...
Why can't there be like us, like, hey, you versus a cheetah?
I reckon I'd have a good chance. Not speed, longevity against a cheetah. I think they seem to be sleeping a lot.
I think
I could beat a cheetah in a day. That'd be interesting.
They would do your daily step count in one burst.
Yeah, four legs again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's not fair. Okay, fair enough. I can just see Chelsea sort of looking at us. So Chelsea's here. She helps out, sits in the background, records it, and basically cuts out all the waffle that we talk about. If this makes it into the podcast, I'll be absolutely amazed. But hey, we're here.
I think it'll make it in because I think it's the most interesting thing I've said so far. We've been going 10 minutes. We're talking Fitbit for cows. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Right, so let's get back to the exciting stuff.
CFAST, what I mentioned.
CFAST.
Yeah, so it's a fishery company. And what they're doing is they're using drones to look at the algae in the water, Micasense camera, like I've mentioned, to actually find the optimum conditions for fish, to be able to farm fish, which is great. And this is in Northern Ireland. And also, Kev's just trying to break the room now. But
I was just thinking it's like the cows in optimum milk.
Yeah.
They try to find optimum conditions for fish.
That's it. But also...
What kind of fish?
All the fish. Northern Ireland fish. Yeah, exactly.
I wonder what's
inland.
It's inland. Inland, oh.
Yeah. Inland fisheries, so they're looking in
land
lakes.
Landwalker fish.
Not land fish. Well, I wonder if we'd beat them in a step count.
I think you would. No, maybe not. Cool, anyway, carry on this.
So yeah, so what they're doing is they're looking at the algae that's dropping in the ponds or in the lakes, they're farming these fish in, which is a good environment for fish, but also looking at runoff you get from industry and from farmland, from pesticides, things like that, and they can actually monitor that with the Micasense camera. I know I've spoke about this a little bit on the last episode. I really spoke about what the potential is and what they can be used for and how they're being used in other parts of the world. And we've already mentioned briefly that drones are used a lot within agriculture around the world and not so much in the UK. I don't think that that's really any... We blamed it a lot on the fact that we've got... legislation. They've got similar legislation in the US, so that can't be it. I think you're right, you touched on it earlier, it's about the size of the farms, there's not necessarily been enough need for them, but also it's about education. So when we're looking at colleges such as Harper Adams, you know, agricultural college, farming college, and they're now bringing in drones and bringing in how to process the data from drones, not even necessarily drone technology, just multispectral technology, and we'll certainly now start to see that uplift. And we've seen that already with company CFAST, which is fisheries and agriculture science, but also another company, Agri-Food and Biosciences, which are, they're looking again in Northern Ireland, and it's a government-funded scheme to help increase yields by, again, flying drones above large farmland and seeing where to put the pesticides. Mm-hmm. You can see where bugs or mites or anything are burrowing into the crop,
wicked. So what they're actually using is drones. So it's like targeted pesticides. Mm. So it's not like it was back in the, when it was like Wild West, the pesticides, where it was just going on kids.
Yeah, basically. They're not just throwing them everywhere. And what's amazing, we're talking, because I didn't realise pesticides come in large tubes, about 3-gallon tubes. It makes sense. They go on the back of trucks regularly and they spray the pesticides just across the whole field.
Yeah.
Well, now... you can target this with drones. And I'm not talking about spraying. What I'm talking about is you can set up a map on a field. And in farms, a lot of the tractors are actually becoming autonomous themselves. Mm-hmm. So you can set up a map in a field and then point out, right, okay, we've got an infestation here, or we've got, you know, certain bugs on these crops, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then they can just focus the pesticides on that particular part of the field. So talking to Harper Adams 6 months ago, and this was before I've seen it adopted in the UK, I'm sure it has been used before, but not to my experience. They were saying that the amount of these pesticide tubes can cost anywhere £6,000-£7,000, and they can use, in the same plot of land that would normally use 12 tubes, they're using half a tube just because
That's
they
amazing.
Can see where
That's so cool, because one of the barriers for drones in agriculture in the UK, especially, all the reasons that we said, but it's also come down to cost. People say, oh, well, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know what my ROI is. It's like, I can bring drones in, but is it worth it for me? I mean, it's a big upfront cost. And you've just proven where the ROI is right there. It's like, it's eventually going to save them money.
100%. And I think where the... when we talk, we're starting businesses, and when we're talking drones for good as well, where the opportunity is here, you may be listening to me and thinking, you know what, but I'm not in agriculture, I just fly drones, you know, for business. But actually, when we were talking about the education side of it earlier, a lot of these farmers and people who own these lands or in forestry, they've been out of college 30, 40 years. They're not, although they are interested, but they're not going to go back and learn about how to use drones and where they're working for. But if you can go with a business case to a farmer and say, I'll fly this for you, it's going to save you 10 tubes of pesticide at £6,000, £7,000 each.
There you go. There's your business case. There's your sales pitch.
Exactly.
There's your sales pitch. Do you think eventually we'll see farmers adopt it as just another tool in the farmyard?
100%. But again, like anything, like we talked, again, I touched on it last time, but when we've been to farmers to sort of talk to them about Micasense cameras and drones, they look at us and, well, I don't know what this data means. So if the opportunity is for young farmers now who are getting taught about this technology in colleges and in universities.
Well, we're all digital natives now, aren't we? This generation has only grown up in a digital world.
Exactly.
A new one coming through. So data is like, you know what I mean? It's like...
there's more and more opportunities there. Farmers will eventually get this themselves, but if you're a drone service provider out there, some potentially really big returns, and also that'll help with environmental
impact. What kind of drone would you need with these pipes? What kind of drone would you need to have if you're a drone service to carry these pipes around?
No, so sorry, they're not carrying the pipes around, that's for the tractors. What they're doing is they're pinpointing where the areas are. So you could say to
they're not actually spraying, they're not actually doing like quick blasts. No, this drone's just going round, using the data, and then the tractor goes...
takes the data and just sprays those points.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, there's just something there as well, like automation.
Mm.
It's like before, we're getting to a stage now where the pilot isn't there flying on a control pad.
Mm.
It's very much the pilot sets the waypoints on the map, and then the drone does it itself. And then talking about that, I mean, it just got dropped last night that Parrot got a new drone coming.
I know, fantastic.
June 30th.
Exactly, huge news.
AI. We're not going to go too much into it. I mean, we've got the insider report. We're not going to steal the thunder. We know exactly what it's coming out. But what I'm going to say, it's another game changer. So they're doing a live webinar on 30th of June. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. 30th of June, 2021.
2021.
If you listen to this in 5 years' time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we've just done another one of our Saturday night takeaways. Exactly. The lines are now closed, but you may still be charged if you contact us. Where's this webinar? As you talk exactly. on. I'm sure they'll have it on demand. So we're all good. So what else has been going on, man? I mean, there's just so much. I'm seeing the drone industry, drone adoption across so many verticals. It's just accelerated.
It really has.
COVID, man. It's like... so it's destroyed so much, but it's also accelerated and done good in other areas. And if you look at the drone industry, it's huge. A massive takeoff.
Huge. Another one, a point that Drones for Good so far this last couple of weeks, Kev, is Loughborough University.
Yeah.
What they've done is they've come to us and said, right, we want to train drone pilots. Okay, and we've said, okay, what do you want to train drone pilots for, Loughborough University? And they've said, I want to basically teach them how to fly, teach them how to map, how to model, basically become the all-around drone service provider that a lot of people in the UK already are.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is we want to train people out in the Maldives.
Cool.
So the Maldives sounds like a fantastic holiday destination with loads of money. Apparently it's not. Apparently there's some parts of the Maldives that are pretty run down, people are struggling. A lot of pollution in the Maldives.
Right.
As well. And Loughborough, again, because it's university government funded, come to us for some advice as to how they could go about doing this. So nothing's confirmed yet. Nothing's confirmed at all with them yet. But it's exciting to be able to speak to people like Loughborough University and sort of really
What's
make
going
a difference.
On in the Maldives, man? I'm just waiting. I want you to just Google it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's going on?
Well, it's a lot of pollution out in the Maldives, and also there's a lot of the sea levels rising a lot as well, making population is getting contained, apparently. So Loughborough Uni are there to help. They can see what's happening in the next 4 or 5 years, and drones can really help with that as well. So that's really exciting. So we've got all these sorts of different applications when it comes to looking for drones, looking for helping people, you know, in different environments, different institutes. But another thing I want to touch on, Kev, whilst you're Googling Maldives to find out what's going on.
I just Googled Maldives, and the first thing that came up was a 5-star holiday, save up to £4,800. Now, I'm telling you what, that's not the price. That's saying save up to £4,800. I'm like, whoa.
How much is the bloody holiday?
Well, exactly, because if £4,800 is the saving. But anyway, we digress, man. I'm gonna check that out to find out what's going on in Maldives. I mean, wow, when you Google it, it's like, yeah, Maldives on the climate front line. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's really interesting when we get universities trying to help across the world. Another university we deal with a lot is Oslo, University of Oslo.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're measuring the change in water held in glaciers up in Siberia, basically, and in Norway, but also in Siberia, where they're measuring the depths of glaciers, which is also another frontline to seeing the effects of climate change.
I'll tell you what, they're saying that this 2030, the targets are the 2050, and that's 2030, and all these countries accelerating it, they're saying it's not going to be enough.
Mm.
So we're not doing enough. Is the UK doing enough? I mean, I'm so disappointed, because when COVID first hit and we went to first lockdown, the pollution levels just completely dropped. People were walking around, no one was in the cars, everything was that little bit cleaner. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you go, it's like even in Venice, the canals were crystal clear.
Yeah.
Dolphins in it for the first time because it's not polluted. And I just thought, oh, maybe this will be the kickstart of people maybe thinking, oh, do you know what? I do need to change ways, because I've actually seen. You got the difference there, didn't you? It was like, okay, so this is full on, we're polluting, but you know, I don't know what would happen if we stopped all driving our cars. And then you got this period where we stopped driving.
And it was great.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Like, the cities were clean. The air was cleaner. I mean, how many people died from air pollution every year? It's in the millions.
Yeah.
Air pollution caused by us.
Bizarre.
It is bizarre, man. But dolphins in Venice. It'll be interesting to find, actually. I mean, after this, I'm going to have a look to see if the Venice canals are still clear or if the tourists are actually back. I don't know. Is that still on the restricted list?
I don't know. It changes every day.
It does. So we've heard all about sort of like charity and tackling climate change and organizations that are doing amazing things. Even Maldives, just from what I've Googled in Maldives, it's all about rising sea levels. So it's known for its crystal clear seas and pristine beaches, but it's about the sea levels. So that's just scary, man.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you kind of look at the islands out in the Maldives that are really struggling. A lot of them are actually submerged.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
So this is why why they're trying to actually really bring in, you know, giving people an opportunity. You know, if their house is gone or if their, you know, living's gone, let's face it, Maldives number one is tourism. And if suddenly your island's gone, your home's gone, your pub, your restaurant, whatever you've got out there is gone, you need something else. But also you want to be at the forefront of helping tackle it, I suppose. So this is what the aim of Loughborough is. But this is the thing with drones for good. You hear a lot about the bad. You hear a lot about the ugly. We always talk about military. And right at the start, I said, what was the highlight of CopterCon? Public safety, security, and military.
Drones for good. But the thing is, though, in the military, it's still for good. I mean, don't get me wrong, you've just seen that. It was in the mainstream news about the first drone killing. Was it last week? It wasn't targeted by a human. The drone just found the target on its own. Something of that ilk. So that's scary, man. We're going into full-on Terminator mode.
Oh,
you know what I mean? T-1000. Is it T-100? T-1000? T-800? What was Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator called?
I don't know.
Who knows, man? But it was sent back in time. But this is how it started. AI. Robotics.
Oh, no. We need to get Schwarzenegger back up.
No, he was the baddie. He was the baddie, but he turned good. He turned good in the later ones.
I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah, he did turn good in the other ones. Because Arnold Schwarzenegger, in saying that, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his earlier films kind of played, he had Terminator where he was the bad one, but apart from that, he was good. It's one of his most famous roles, and then he started doing Kindergarten Cop. Where he's just
Batman.
Yeah. Batman and Robin. Do you remember that? Mr. Freeze.
Who are we? Ali Plum doing the film reviews.
Well, this is it. Well, how did we get onto this? Oh, yeah, because drones and the technology and the AI, where it's going. But going back to, for military as well, it is getting used for good because whereas it used to be people going in, it's not people anymore.
Exactly.
So from a safety point of view, it is really cool.
Oh, it is great. And if anybody wants to check it out a little bit more about military, did you see the video with Sam running around the MOD with the Loki flying around the rooms for his LinkedIn?
I did, man. I did.
That was cool, that.
Just to caveat, Sam wasn't running around the MOD.
Sorry, the drone was running around, flying around.
Yeah, Sam was just running around, going crazy.
That was great.
Sam Bennett, our public safety and defence specialist. I mean, the Loki is a cool drone.
Yeah.
He's a cool drone. I mean, I think, I don't know if it was on the last show, but we were talking about the drones that are like shaped like those little Hornet drones that are going in and just going on agriculture. And it's going
bat.
In.
It was the bat drones.
Yeah, the bat drones. Yeah. I remember the clown drone as well. Is there any more update on that?
The clown drone.
Yeah.
There is
the clown. The clown. Oh, is there a clown drone?
You know the clown drone?
No.
I thought I mentioned the clown drone last time. So, the theme park.
Did I mention the theme park? I think you did. Chelsea, did we talk about the theme park last time? We did, didn't we?
We did. Right, we'll be quiet.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the theme park?
I was talking about the clown drone. Do you know how we were talking about a drone? What was it called? And it's like it's not actually a cloud. I know you're looking at me crazy, but it's not actually a cloud, but it was some drone that just comes in and it's just like, it's clouded like camouflage. You were talking about it, but anyway, we completely digress. Chelsea will be cutting this section.
make notes.
I know. I feel like we've done a lot of focus on agriculture.
Bit of agriculture, quite a bit of search and rescue.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Spoke about search and rescue.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of the other more obscure things that people might not have known is happening, but is happening, and it's pretty cool. So first one that I want to talk about is this, and I've got this up because I think this is great. Scientists are zapping clouds with electricity to make rain, and they're using drones to do it.
Well, this has come from out of the blue, Kev. I wasn't prepared for that. I always come in and think, weird and wonderful things happen. Yeah, hang on a minute.
I know, because I was reading about this. I thought it was really cool because if you think of all the areas where they just don't get the rainfall, and then they're sending drones up and then they're using it to zap the clouds to make it rain in the areas that need it the most.
Changing the weather.
You know what I mean? It's like, who's the god of lightning? Is it Raiden? Who's the weather god? Is it Raiden? I'm talking Mortal Kombat. Zeus, yeah, he's lightning bolts, isn't he?
I think he's lightning bolts.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was the god of gods, though, wasn't he?
I don't know. I just remember out of Little Mermaid.
Ah, that's not Zeus. That's not Zeus. That's the Mer-King.
It's Zeus, isn't it?
No, it's the Mer-King.
I thought he had the fish tail.
Zeus? Are you being serious? This is Greek mythology, man.
I know.
He lives in the clouds. Haven't you seen like Clash of the Titans and all those kind of films, like the classic Clash of the Titans, the old school one where it's like the Medusa and it's all stop motion, and I always remember the scorpions and everything, and Pegasus.
Pegasus is the horse.
Yeah.
There you go.
That, you don't get horses underwater. Oh, seahorses. Scratch that, but you know what I mean. Not horses that fly, horses that swim.
Or a Mer-King.
Yeah, Mer-King.
Where did he come in the ancient Greek mythology?
He doesn't.
Oh.
Listen, it's Disney. It's Disney. The thing is that I know Little Mermaid, man, because you'll experience this, Steve, when you have a kid of your own. It's like they will latch onto a film for at least a period of 4 or 5 months where that's all you can watch every single day. So I've watched Little Mermaid every day. That's why I know it's not Zeus. I know it's Mer-King. She's moved on to Beauty and the Beast. She watched Tangled a couple of times, didn't get into that. It used to be Toy Story all the time. 1, 2, 3, 4. What else does she love? Either way, I'm kind of happy because I'm just getting to live. Because I love Disney, man. I love Disney films, but now I've got the opportunity. No, we've got the... Sorry, man. Someone's... Ooh, well, we can't talk about that, can we?
Yeah, we can.
Can we? Well, the drones just flew past.
Yeah, drones just flew past, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the wonderful world of copter.
Yeah, I know. He's like, okay, cool. That's a bit bizarre. But anyway, so we've digressed again, man. I can't believe you, but I just cannot believe that you thought Zeus was a mermaid.
The mermaid, the merkin.
No. You need to watch that again, man. Remember the film that I told you to watch last night, Tin Cup?
Yeah.
Remember to watch it. I went looking for it. It's not on Sky. It's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon. It's not on Disney. Can you believe that?
Has that got Zeus in it?
Listen, yes, because I said to you, oh, Tin Cup, you want to watch it with Kevin Costner. If you love golf, watch that film, guys. Think about how drones are being used in golf, actually. I mean, it's not drones for good, but just to capture those shots and just drones in sports.
Every single golf course now, everyone's got a flyover.
Yeah, exactly.
From the hole.
Exactly. And after, when you think about how that used to be done compared to how it's done now, it's phenomenal. Amazing. Were you just in Scotland playing golf and finishing dead last?
Yes, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. I bet you wish you had a drone to find all your lost balls.
I'll tell you what, I need more than a drone, I need a sniffer dog.
Yeah, and a drone. No, you'd need a Mikkosens.
A Mikkosens, yes.
To get the data.
That'd be an expensive ball retriever. Mind you, it cost me enough Pro V1s.
Yeah. Anyway, if you want to see, we won't talk about the dry pants you wear in the golf pants, but anyway. Another cool thing that's happening, because like we always say, people when they talk and think about drones, they always think, look up to the sky. But autonomous sail drones are the newest weapon in fighting climate change. I'm just looking at a picture of it now, and it's really cool, but it's all about 100 AI-equipped drones, there's that word again, AI, drone sail boats to monitor ocean and weather data, count fish populations, and map the ocean floor.
Really? Mm. So when you're talking about sail drones, are you talking about these drones that just get taken around by the currents and the wind and then map wherever they go? I would guess so. That's because that would be a great way of sort of saving battery life.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It's autonomous. So if they want to map the sea floor, I mean, I don't think they just drift around, but I'm guessing they have that capability.
Yeah.
I mean, bloody hell, let's get one and go to Loch Ness.
Well, let's find Nessie.
Let's find Nessie, or not, is the case, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely real.
Loch Ness. Oh, Nessie.
Yeah.
Yeah, how can a million Scotsmen be wrong?
That never happened before.
Yeah, exactly. And they made a cartoon out of it. Do you remember?
Do you remember the theme tune?
And you'll never find a Nessie in the zoo. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's a different generation, man. It was a cartoon. That's when Scottish cartoons were all the rage. It's Super Gran.
Scottish cartoons were all the rage in Scotland, maybe.
No, I was living in England at the time.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, Nessie. You'll find Nessie in the zoo. What about Dennis the Menace?
Dennis the Menace. He's Scottish.
I don't know if he's Scottish, but I know the people. I know it was from Dundee.
Oh, right.
Or is it Dennis the Menace, or is that the Bruins and Ur Willie? You must know the Bruins and Ur Willie.
The Bruins and Ur Willie. No, I think that's Scottish. I grew up in England. I grew up in Reading.
Reading. You don't get more English than Reading.
Exactly. You get more Southern than Reading.
So here's a question. I mean, it's very easy for us to get sucked in just to talk about the drones that we work with and the drone suppliers that we partner with and all the different applications. It's very easy. And you know what? There's other podcasts that we do that talk about that. I mean, you'll see when we talk about inspection and it's George or it's Jamie talking about all the drones for starting a drone business that we would recommend. But the technology is innovating at such a speed now that way more than it was like a year, 2 years ago, where it was like historically slow. You need to wait like a year, 2 years for a drone. But there's so many organisations coming into it. There's so many more drones coming to market. We work with how many drone suppliers at the moment? Is it 21? Drone suppliers, yep. 21, about that. And
more to come.
Yeah, more to come. So you've just, there we go. This is what I was leading to. Give us a little tidbit. What have we got? Give us a sneak peek of what potentially we're going to have this year. Who we're going to be working with potentially.
So it's really early stages with quite a few. I think one now that's pretty established that we've mentioned was Lorenz Technology. We'll now be working with Soren with Lorenz Technology, which is a lot of working at ports side inspections. That's really exciting. Potentially Autel, which would be great.
Yeah.
Randall, like we mentioned already.
Yeah.
We've also had a couple of sort of queries and questions with TrendSpec, which is an inspection software. Also with Pix4D Inspect, that'd be great if we could get that properly up and running as well. Mm-hmm. Johannes is really keen to get us get us going and supplying their software. There's quite a lot of different people that we're speaking. It's hard when it's early stages. It's hard to actually, you know, say who we will be working with till it's signed on the dotted line. But what's great about copters and what's great about the drone industry is that we're kind of the center of a lot of the larger organizations reselling, because we do start to finish solutions. So it's the training, it's the software, it's the hardware, it's the how do I use this drone, it's the how do I start a drone business, it's the how do we help people, how do I have search locks, dogs, you know, how do I do all this sort of thing? Because we have experience in all these different areas, it's great. And if we don't know, we can find out, because we know people who are great from different industries, such as Randall from Now Autel, such as Junio from Flyability.
Yeah,
as Asif from Para. We've got all these great people that we can sort of pull on and really find out. Not to mention DJI and really having a strong link with China. Speaking with Andrew at DJI as well, who obviously are at the forefront at the moment and continue to bring out some great stuff.
Yeah, but the other people are catching up. DJI used to just have the whole market, didn't they? Mm. They were drones, consumer and commercial. But now it's like all these companies coming in. Don't get me wrong. DJI with the M300, I mean, they're still making best-in-class drones, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. And that drone, again, what's great about the M300, to be honest with you, Kev, though, they seem to be opening up to actually, they're not doing the Apple concept that they used to do where only their own DJI products worked on DJI. What's great about the M300 is it's starting to use, they're selling the SDK software to other organizations who can attach their own payloads to it. So suddenly we're going to have the DJI drone that can have all these different payloads attached to it, and it's really moving quite quickly.
Well, that's interesting because, just looking back to Randall, it's like Randall Warnes, who's just moved to Autel Robotics, but when he was at FLIR used to do a lot of DJI-specific cameras.
Yeah.
And they did do one. They did one as well for the M300. Which one is it?
Yeah, so FLIR they did the H20T before. You got taken by DJI themselves. But what DJI are now doing is allowing sort of, not just FLIR, but smaller companies to come in and say, right, we've got Lorenz Technology, for example, is going to come and stick that on. We've got the other company, Parachutes, that can now attach to DJI drones. All these sort of things where beforehand they were very much in-house, we've suddenly realised, oh, hang on, this will work.
Well, the world's changing. World's changing. Well, the industry's changing as well. And that's what we're talking about, the innovation. I think just touching, because what you're meaning with the Apple analogy is DJI is very much like Apple, so it's a closed ecosystem, but it's not anymore. Whereas the rest of the drone industry was very much like Windows.
Yeah.
They had an open ecosystem, and that was two clear differentiators. And a lot of people love Apple because it's just nice and tight, so they'll always buy Apple products. To go so the Apple smartwatch, etc. But Windows, where people just want to go bespoke. They don't want any ceilings, any limits to what they can do. And then that's where you see some of the best innovation. Best innovation. We worked with Aberdeen University, was it? And we did they were looking at drones studying volcanoes and whatnot. I don't know if you saw on the news, the DJI drone recently just getting swallowed by a volcano just floating. Did you see that?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, check it out, guys. You'll just see the video. Just put that in, drone swallowed by a volcano. Like a volcano is a living, breathing thing. Swallowed like a Venus flytrap. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you'd be gutted if you lost your Helios 2, never mind the DJI drone. Little Mavic. I tell you. Right, let's finish on one big thing. So we've talked about drones. What is the best application? Let's finish on something. I know we've spoke about the climate change and whatnot, but let's open it up. What's the best application that someone has called in for? So do you remember someone called in because they wanted to use drones in a theme park, like we were talking about, and they're going to carry the big stuffed, caricatures around. What's the best application someone's called in for recently since then? So it just made you think, just go... Whoa.
It's made me think, whoa. Well, I think, I'll tell you what was quite a funny one, actually, that we kind of got out of someone was they were flying their drone, and I don't know if I should say this, but to record horse races, flying a drone up and around near a horse racing track to film horse racing across the, you know, so they could be putting bets on the horse races. Hopefully that stream was a little bit quicker. Obviously, we didn't deal with them.
How much money did you lose? Exactly. How many bets did you put on and how many lose?
But if anyone wants a tip, we
can... we know a tipster.
Yeah, so that was quite a funny one. And then also some other people looking at newts.
Newts?
Like newts, you know, as in the little... Newts, as in the little lizard newts.
Lizard. Is that how it's pronounced in Reddit? Newts.
Newts.
Yeah. How do you pronounce it, Chelsea?
You
don't know New Zealand. It's like...
I don't know what it is.
Well, newts. You don't know what a newt is? I'm sure it's not... That's not how you say it. I know what you mean. A little lizard.
A lizard
that goes... Newt. Newt.
Newt.
Newt.
Sorry?
Newt. Newt. Newt.
Or whatever.
Whatever. There's no point in a Scottish person. Ute. Hey, you. Ute.
Yeah, so it was basically trying to monitor newts with the Mavic 2 Enterprise Advanced, believe it or not. That thermal camera and that 32x zoom is strong enough to fly 100 feet. I've got these newts. I'm really conscious, by the way, I say that now.
Yeah, but why
they're
would
no
you
longer
want to...
than sort of 3 or 4 inches.
But why would you want to monitor them from 100 feet?
Regulate population for newts as well.
What, in the UK?
In the UK.
And where is the newt outbreak? Because, I mean, you see, is it in Australia? No, the mouse outbreak.
They want more. We want more newts. They're good for the environment.
So newts?
Newts.
Where can you buy them?
Newts.
Sainsbury's. Come on, local supermarkets, yeah. Let's get some newts. Well, how are they good for the environment?
Well, I don't know how to pronounce it. You know, how good for the environment. No, it's all part of a larger ecosystem. So it's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll notice that they're part of the food chain, aren't they? So if their population drops, so will the local bird population drops. It's all part of the same thing. And that was from the Wildlife Trust are actually looking at them.
Nice.
So that's
nice.
Pretty cool. So although that did make me go, whoa, when they mentioned newts, and now I'm really conscious about the way I say it, but yeah.
Did they say it like that? Did they say it like newts?
Newts.
I don't know how to pronounce it. If anybody listens to this, feel free to just record yourself saying it and then send it to chelsea.smith@copters.com.
Well, it's spelt. it's spelt N-E-W-T, but...
That's what I'm talking about. You're not pronouncing newt.
Like new with a T on the end.
Newt.
Knit. Maybe.
Maybe.
They live 15
it
years
isn't
anyway.
Fam?
They live up to 15 years.
Do they?
There you
that's
go.
The same age. That's like the same as a cat.
Yeah. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can call it the semi-aquatic salamander if you like.
Semi-aquatic. Oh, well, that rolls off the tongue better than newt. Yeah, I like that colour. So what was it?
Semi-aquatic salamander.
Semi-aquatic salamander. Yeah, I'm going to go with that instead of newt.
There you go.
I think you should go with that as well.
All right, yeah, I think
semi-aquatic salamander. Love it.
On that bombshell.
Shall we wrap it up? That was a very interesting show again. I think we spoke about a hell of a lot. We hope you guys enjoyed listening. If you want to hear more from us at the gang at Copters, all you need to do is subscribe to Drone World. You can see us if podcasting your thing, then we got it video, we got YouTube Live. If you like to read, we got articles. If you love to do all three, you can follow us across all our channels. And just make sure that you subscribe to the weekly newsletter so you don't miss out on any big launch events that we are going to be having over the next 6 months, which is going to start with that new parrot drone that we spoke about.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
look
bring
forward
it
to
the
it.
UK.
Can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Love that. My name's Kevin Gillespie, and...
I am Blair, Steve Blair.
Blair, Steve Blair. Shaking, not stirred. See you next time for an episode of Drones for Good.
Look forward to seeing you then. Cheers, guys.
Bye.